Brothers and sisters, around us are happening extraordinary things which can't be explained by science or medicine. For example, we hear testimonies of people who experienced death while lying in an intensive care unit, but revived after a short while. But almost all people who've revived from death confess that there exists afterlife, namely the spiritual realm. In the Bible, we find many records on the spiritual realm. Still now, our Lord is demonstrating its existence through some individuals. So, let me start out by introducing a testimony of a Chinese parish member who lost consciousness by brain hemorrhage and had an encounter with the Lord in the spiritual realm. It goes like this. I was taking a shower on the morning of November 13. All of a sudden, I heard some buzzing sound from the back of my neck. I choked and felt like vomiting. It felt like a blood vessel burst inside and my hands and feet shriveled. I kept praying, "Father, Lord, save my life," and walked out of the bathroom. I reached for a handkerchief on the table. As I laid the handkerchief on my chest, with the Spirit's strong inspiration, I began to repent with bitter tears. I repented of not carrying out my duties as a senior deaconess and giving up my duties as a cell leader. As I repented and prayed, "Father, please save me, give me one more chance," the buzzing sound stopped and my hands and feet, which had shriveled, straightened out. In my prayer, I said, "Father, save my life. I believe in the shepherd's power and in his space." But as soon as I took the handkerchief off my body, my hands and feet shriveled again. As I put it back on my chest, they again straightened out. I went on to repent, saying, "Father, I didn't have perfect trust in the shepherd, but harbored doubts. I'm so sorry. Shepherd, please ask my Lord to give me one more chance." Then, an image of the shepherd's smiling face appeared, and I lost consciousness. At that moment, the Lord led my soul through something like a tunnel that was pitch dark inside. Then, I saw physicians performing surgery on my body for brain hemorrhage. By the way, because my soul was floating on the air like a balloon, I couldn't stand upright. As the Lord held my hand, like a groom would do his bride, I could stand up straight. The Lord explained that once a person's soul leaves his body, he floats just like you just did. I asked him, "Lord, where are we now?" Then he replied, "This is the spiritual realm. In this space, whatever is missing in your body, whether it's your arm, your eye, your ear, is recreated, and your soul revives as well." He reassured me that my soul also revived and I didn't have to worry. He laid his hand on my forehead and rebuked me. He prayed, "My dear daughter, it is I that appointed you senior deaconess. I inspired my servants to appoint you. Also, when you were elected a cell leader, you didn't have gratitude, but tried to run away from your duties." At his dignified voice, I trembled with fear and pleaded with him, "Please, extend my life just a little more. Don't let me go to hell." He then said, "My daughter, if I call your soul out of your body, your flesh dies. Without your soul, your flesh cannot revive ever again. Then, what does gold, silver, and money mean to you in the fleshly world?" I was so happy to be with my Lord in that spiritual space So I pleaded with him to allow me to live there in this space. As she said, she tried to But he replied, "You didn't even fulfill your duties as a senior deaconess and a cell leader. Until we meet again, I want you to fulfill your duty of testifying to your shepherd and devote your life to the church, Manmin." He also, we give glory to Father God. He also asked all Manmin members to stay in their positions and carry out their duties well. As far as I saw in the spiritual space, just as in the book Heaven, the road was made of gold and stones were also made of gold, round-shaped, and glittered. Pretty flowers were swaying on both sides of the road, giving out their fragrance as if they welcomed me. The air was transparent, pure, and clear, and the beauty of the clouds was beyond description. When I grabbed the because the clouds were so beautiful, she tried to grab them. When she grabbed these exceedingly beautiful clouds, they appeared again. I was in ecstasy. I'm sorry that the words of this world can't describe all the things I saw there. She also added that she didn't remember all the things she saw. The Lord also said something about the church and the shepherd and acting senior pastor, but I wouldn't share them right now here. I am thankful that God saved me, who was destined to die of brain hemorrhage, and provided a spiritual awakening to me who had doubts about the shepherd. I give all thanks and glory to Father God for assigning me this precious duty to testify to the shepherd. As I met her and heard that testimony, I myself had a huge awakening. And she repeatedly lost her consciousness. She repented of not carrying out her duties and asked the Lord to save her from hell. She pleaded with the Lord not to let her go to hell. And I was reminded of what is written in Matthew chapter 25. The parable of talents featured in Matthew chapter 25 reminds us that fulfilling our duties has to do with our salvation. What did the master say to the servant, servant who received one talent and hid it in the ground? Calling him a wicked and lazy slave, he said, "Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." But the servant who received 5 talents gained 5 more talents. And the one who received 2 talents gained 2 more talents. Then the master complimented them, saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Whether you have a big or small duty, if you try your utmost, you can be acknowledged by God as a faithful one. Thus, fulfilling our duties is not a matter of option. Whoever has faith and hope has to long for God-given duties and carry them out. Today, I'll deliver a message entitled, He who is exceedingly faithful. Hopefully, this message will remind you of the importance of your God-given duties and help you become church workers worthy of our Lord's compliment. From now on, let me talk about what we have to do to be recognized as faithful ones before God. First, we have to consider even a trivial God-given duty precious and be faithful to it. We have to consider even a trivial duty precious and be faithful to it. Brothers and sisters, as the evidence of our having been saved, we assume and carry out duties for His kingdom. So, we have God-given duties, big and small. The duties we have also serve as the promise between God and us. If you have no particular duty at church, your duties are to worship God in spirit and in truth, keep His words, and share the gospel by giving out the church newsletters, etc. If you are being assigned a duty to look after the souls, you have to take good care of the newcomers or those who are weak in faith and help them grow spiritually, thereby adding to the number of the saved. People who indeed love God wouldn't neglect even a small duty. They consider whatever they can do for Father God to be precious. They are thankful that God saved themselves who were destined for hell. In addition, if they carry out their duties well, they will be given glorious heavenly rewards. So they are all the more thankful. In talking about the importance of God-given duties, people often mention the anecdote of the former U.S. President Jimmy Carter. He once confessed that teaching the Sunday school is more important than his presidency. Many people were inspired by this. But for those who have even a little bit of spiritual faith, it is only natural to say this. No doubt, people with fleshly faith, mommy members make same kind of confession. But people with fleshly faith, namely men of flesh, would prefer presidency, which comes with authority, wealth, and fame. But even a president of a great nation can enjoy his fame only while he's on earth. But teaching the Sunday school is a duty given by God the Creator. When a person performs that duty well, he can enjoy everlasting glory, rewards, and honor. Some individuals, however, complain that they're not given a greater duty even while they neglect their current duties at church. It's not for God that they long to have duties at church. Rather, wanting to win people's recognition, they seek a title or a duty of which they can boast. These people put more value on getting recognition or compliments than on working for God Himself. For this reason, it's difficult for them to bring forth good fruit and be entrusted with a greater duty. As Luke chapter 16, verse 10 reminds us, "He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much, and he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much." Only when we carry out our even a small duty can Father God entrust us with a greater duty. A typical example of this is Joseph from the Old Testament. From Genesis chapters 37 through 41, we find how God led the Israelites to grow into a nation through one person, Joseph. To do so, He sent Joseph to Egypt, which was then a strong power in the world, and raised him to the position that rules over the entire nation. But it's not that He put him in that position from early on. Joseph started off as a slave at the house of Potiphar. Then he was put in charge of all household affairs. Then God had him imprisoned. He was put in jail, whose inmates were not ordinary criminals, but leaders or officials who committed a fault against the king. Dealing with diverse people here, He equipped himself with a broader insight and capabilities necessary to rule over the entire nation. After spending 13 years in jail, he became a prime minister of Egypt. By his Suppose he carried out his duties half-heartedly at the house of Potiphar, he would have ended his life as a mere slave. But how trivial of a task he was assigned, he didn't do it half-heartedly. He did his utmost with the heart of a master and did more than he was entrusted with. In doing so, he could earn perfect trust from his master. So he didn't have selfish desire or boast of himself. Rather, he worked all the more harder and took utmost care of his entire household. Because Joseph was faithful in all his duties, whether they were trivial or significant, he equipped himself with capabilities to rule over the entire nation. Brothers and sisters, right now, MAMI members, pastors, Levite workers, and all church leaders, at such a time as this, we need to have the kind of a mindset Joseph had. If we work diligently with the heart of a master and do more than what we are entrusted with, the church will stand more firmly in faith and have more revival and glorify God. In addition, imagine how much a senior pastor will rejoice when he hears that we are doing so. When we when he comes back and when we meet him again, wouldn't he say thank you and put more trust in us? So each one of us should work with the heart of a master and put more heart into our duties during this year. But the purpose of our cherishing our duties shouldn't be just taking greater duties or rewards. As I mentioned earlier, being able to do something for Father God and our Lord, whom we love, this itself is very important. With such a heart, we wouldn't seek to be loved or recognized by others, nor would we boast of our position or title. Regardless of how we look to others, we are only focused on how we can carry out our duties better and bring forth fruit, and how we can be of more benefit to the kingdom of God. Brothers and sisters, going through this time of blessing this year, I ponder many times, what would Father God and our Lord say to Manmin, and what would they want from us? Also, what would senior pastor want from us, and what kind of prayer is he offering for us every minute and every second? I ponder over this a lot during the 2018. In doing so, I try to find out how I could please the Father, the Lord, and senior pastor, and how I could be of help and benefit to the church. After I found out what it is, I try to do it. In order not to lose the souls entrusted to my care, whenever I had meetings with church members, especially when I found empty seats during Daniel prayer meeting, I wished I could fill in those seats with Chinese parish members. So I emphasize salvation of souls and gospel sharing. I repeatedly assured the Chinese members that this is the opportunity to pay back God's grace and receive blessings. To engrave our resolution to achieve a revival in our hearts, I urge the Chinese parish members to encourage one another. Wow, you look like an excellent evangelist. We encourage each other like this. As we say this to one another, now we have to take responsibility. We shouldn't put our hearts somewhere else. So we have to devote ourselves to salvation of souls and gospel sharing. In doing so, back in 1996, there were over 100 newly registered members each week. I earnestly hope that such days will come again. So now we are as we encourage each other with those words, and people also, Chinese people, take turns offering a fast. They cherish even a small duty, and so Father God is very pleased and blesses us in many ways so that we can glorify Him. To deliver the happy news of our revival to senior pastor was our earnest heart's wish and our goal. Joyfully accepting our heart, Father God inspired many good-hearted souls to come to church. As the Chinese parish members were united as one in working for God, we could glorify God through revival. More thankfully, many of the Chinese parish members grew into many church workers. During the year 2018, we've got 3 district leaders, 6 sub-district leaders, 21 cell leaders, and 30 vice cell leaders. I was very proud of them and gave thanks to God. Still, Father God is sending new souls each week. Junior Deaconess Geumja An, she registered in our church in November. She moved to Guro District, which is close to church, and she decided to come Mamin Church. But she watched the reports on our church, false reports. But the person who used to share the gospel with him, she was continually reminded of her. She thought, because she received grace from her, she continually remembered her and decided to come here. As she came here and offered service, she shed tears. And when I visited her, she just shed tears during the service. She was so impressed by the inspiring messages. And she also decided to bring her friends to church. More inspiring thing is, because at first, her husband persecuted her for going to church, so she came to church secretly. And she told her husband to have a meal with the person who brought her to church. So he had a meal with those church members. And in the morning, she confessed that her husband would come to church today. And today he registered. I was very thankful. And husbands, and people, and they are bringing their relatives and husbands and acquaintances as their families and acquaintances are led to church. Newcomers settle into our church, and we are achieving revivals. Manmin members all around the world, as I shared with you earlier, what our Lord wants from us is to stay in our respective positions and carry out our duties well. That's what our Lord asked us to do. Recently, I was so inspired by Deacon Sung Yi Lee's testimony introduced on Manmin magazine. He confessed that he moved to Gangnam district simply because he noticed that the position of cell leader there was vacant. We've seen how happy he is carrying out his duties as a cell leader. Look at his face. Especially, I agree with his statement. One's duty keeps himself. I couldn't agree with him more. I was inspired to hear that. That's right. I also want to say, our duty makes us sanctified. So we have to know how important our duties are. Our duties enable us to feel Father God's love and love the souls. Thus, it brings us happiness and joy. Thus, we have to long for God-given duties. We should never forget the grace of Father God, the Lord, and our Shepherd, who've led us, who used to have a lot of shortcomings, to where we are now. In the year 2019, I urge you to stay where you are and cherish even your small duties, thereby demonstrating exceeding faithfulness each and every day. Dear brothers and sisters, to become exceedingly faithful before God, second, we have to throw away all forms of evil. As we cherish our duties and make efforts to carry them out well, we may face our limits and lament. As we find ourselves in tests or trials, we want to drive away the enemy devil and Satan. Also, when we see those weak in faith, we want to help them possess spiritual faith. When leading a prayer meeting or our cell meeting, we want to make everyone gathered, happy, and spirit-filled, and lead more members to come and share God's grace together. But when we fail to do so, no matter how much we try, we lament and agonize. God's kingdom is not accomplished by man's capability and wisdom. We have to get things done in spirit with God-given wisdom and capability alone. Otherwise, even though we make utmost efforts on our part and try to serve others, we fail to bring forth fruit that we want. Rather, we distress and hurt the souls and cause them to stumble. We cannot provide strength to the souls by giving them fleshly love. Only when we do according to the Spirit's inspiration can they be strengthened and Spirit-filled. During home visits, if we involve our fleshly thoughts in deciding what to tell, we can neither solve their problems nor make them filled with the Spirit. Only by the help of the Spirit we can solve the problems of the souls and help them receive answers. Personally, I have a testimony. In January 2nd, 2018, I received a call from a Chinese parish member, Deacon Kim Sung Lee. When I went to see him, he couldn't open his eyes. He could barely breathe. So I laid a handkerchief on him and began to pray. The Spirit inspired me. The Spirit inspired me to mention that he complained. He uttered words of complaint. So I said to him, "You have to repent of complaining," with my lips close to his ears. As Senior Pastor taught us, how to pray for brain problems, brain hemorrhage. So tears began to well up in his eyes. So when I saw that, I was relieved. And after the prayer was finished, he had a deep breath and said, "Senior Pastor, I'm sorry." He knew that he didn't live out of words. And later, he confessed that he worked in a construction site. He worked in a house. The owner of the house ignored him and rebuked him in many ways. So he was enraged. He threw things down, and that's when he started to have a severe headache. And as soon as I heard this, I realized that the Spirit inspired my heart exactly. He inspired me to mention what he had to repent. So he obeyed and repented. So he gained a new life. So as a pastor, I realized that it is important that we receive the inspiration of the Spirit. If we provide counseling to the souls, hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit, we can exactly resolve their problems, help them receive God's grace, and open the door to their hearts. Thus, as we realize there is a limit to our ways and capabilities, we develop earnest hope to receive strength from God. With such hope, we naturally humble our hearts, pray, fast, and hold on to God with an earnest heart. At the same time, we can discover our shortcomings and fix them all the more quickly. For this reason, by carrying out our duties well, we are on a blessed path to making our souls prosper. As we pray and seek God's strength to carry out our duties, we deeply realize that we have to be sanctified most of all. With God-given duties, we develop fervent hope to be sanctified, be strengthened, and bear fruit. So we wouldn't want to accept even a little bit of untruth that we didn't even consider serious before. As we rejoice only with the truth, we are sensitive to even small forms of evil, like getting irritated, harboring ill feelings, and seeking our own benefits. To the extent we make our vessels clean, we can receive greater strength from above. I pray that in the year 2019, you will please God by bearing much fruit and be acknowledged as exceedingly faithful ones. So, I pray that all of you will become such church workers. Brothers and sisters, to become exceedingly faithful ones, lastly, we have to love the souls with the heart of the shepherd. Apostle Paul confesses in Philippians chapter 1, verse 8, "For God is my witness, how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus." Speaking the truth without deceit in his heart, Paul assures us that God is the witness. Even while Jesus was harshly suffering on the cross, he prayed, "Father, forgive them." With a heart of the Lord who only thought about the souls, Apostle Paul was concerned about the souls entrusted to his care. For the salvation of souls, he didn't hesitate to suffer hunger, thirst, cold, heat, and fatigue. He willingly endured all dangers, sailing through rough seas and traveling through high mountains and wilderness. While proclaiming the gospel, he was willing to endure all kinds of mockery, pain of his bones being broken by rods, and even threats of death. He made all the sacrifice on account of the Lord, who shed his blood out of his love for him. At the same time, his sacrifice was for all the souls redeemed by the Lord's blood. He even confessed in Romans chapter 9, verse 3, "For I could wish that I myself were accursed, separated from Christ for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh." To the extent we cherish even our small duties, make diligent efforts to carry them out, and sanctify ourselves, the heart of the Lord, who didn't spare even his own life for the souls, comes upon us as well. As our love for the souls grows, we can figure out the shepherd's love for his sheep, at least to some extent. Little by little, we can comprehend why he spared his money on food and clothing to save up for charity and missionary works, and how he devoted his entire life for the souls. Brothers and sisters, even out in the world, parents demonstrate sacrificial love towards their children. When they see their children eating, they feel like their stomachs are full, even without eating. Is that true, parents? I myself have never given birth to a child, so I don't know. So Mrs. Bong Nim Lee said amen out loud. She feels her stomachs are full even without eating. Even after they leave home to study abroad or get a job, their hearts are always on them. Even while busy with their work, they wonder, "What is my son doing? and during meals, they're also concerned. Is my daughter not skipping meals? It is much more so with the shepherd's heart for the souls. Just as Apostle Paul confessed in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28, apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. Our shepherd, since he founded this church, has done more than he was entrusted with, devoting himself for the souls, the church, and God's kingdom. When God first called him to be his servant, he was concerned. I'm old and introverted. How could I become a pastor? But as he obeyed saying amen, God guided him every step of the way, always providing him with abundant grace and strength. Even when it felt like he was about to collapse, he couldn't take a break or put his heart at ease for fear that his ship might become weaker in faith and be snatched away by the enemy devil. He couldn't relieve his heart. Seeing church workers weak in faith, he wanted to share their burdens, and he didn't overlook many issues going on in the church. To quickly fulfill God's will and His providence for this church, he couldn't put his heart at ease. There were times his financial burdens intensified, and the situation was just bleak and hopeless. But for the salvation of souls, he boldly demonstrated his faith and bore all the responsibility. The same goes. It was the same when he accomplished the ministry for GCN and World Mission. He started everything out of from nothing to save the souls and to expand God's kingdom. He accomplished all this because he's fulfilled his ministry with the heart of the Lord and Father God. We now have over 11,000 branch and associated churches worldwide. But our shepherd hasn't carried out his duties reluctantly or grudgingly because he knows that by making a little more sacrifice, he can make us more spirit-filled and make our souls prosper. He confessed that this is the source of his joy and that he takes delight in accomplishing God's kingdom wonderfully and glorifying God. Most of all, with God's love incessantly poured upon him and the church members' love for him, he is comforted and able to do more than he was entrusted with. That's his confession. Brothers and sisters, only when we harbor the souls with the heart of the Lord and the shepherd can we diligently visit the souls and pray for their situations at any moment, even towards people who try to hurt you with offensive words. We don't have ill feelings against them. Rather than wanting to be served as a church, wanting to be respected as a church worker, you desire to take good care of the shepherd's precious sheep so they only look lovely to you. So recently, when I see each one of you, Manmin, I see each one of you as so precious. So when I see each one passing by, I say, how are you doing? And also, they respond. So I have a greater love for each and every church member. In my opinion, if pastors and church leaders look upon the souls under their care as their own children, they could carry out their duties happily without feeling burdened. As Mrs. Bong Yim Lee mentioned several times, Let's say a 17-year-old gets married and gives birth to a child. There is also unmarried women with a doctor's degree in nursery education. But when a baby cries, who do you think knows better when why he cries? There's no doubt it's the 17-year-old mom, because it's our own dear child. If we love someone, we can figure out how he feels just by looking at his eyes. Understanding why her baby cries, she puts all her heart into soothing him. Church workers who take care of the souls just like mothers are always ready to serve the souls and seek their benefits if only they can make them feel comfortable by doing so. Also, they don't hesitate to sacrifice themselves, both fleshly and spiritually, to make their souls prosper. When the souls commit sins and face tribulations, they feel even more heartbroken and cry out in prayer. They always pray for their problems and their spiritual growth. They love and serve them more than their own family members. If you constantly serve and take care of the souls with such love, they can develop gratitude as well. As you know, I'm the guidance pastor. I recently became a guidance pastor of the North Korean refugees. I said to them, to devote myself to Father God's work, I didn't give birth to a child. Therefore, you are my daughters and sons. So they clapped their hands and cheered. So many of them are very old. Many of them are over 70 years of age. The North Korean refugees mission. So many of the church workers who are diligently serving the souls under their care tearfully confess as follows: "Now I can feel the Lord's love and figure out the shepherd's heart." Actually, how could we figure out the Lord's or the shepherd's heart? But we can feel to a little extent. Children may think they know their parents' love, but only after they become parents themselves can they be truly grateful to their parents. Just as people begin to appreciate their parents' love as they become parents themselves, church workers begin to feel the shepherd's heart as they look after the souls. In turn, they give thanks to the Lord and the Father all the more. If we harbor the souls with the heart of the Lord, the shepherd, and a mother, and share love with them, we can surely bring forth fruit. As your heart becomes a vessel big enough to embrace many souls, God brings more people under your care. There's a big difference between if you sincerely deal with the souls, they can feel your sincerity, open the door to their hearts, and you can help them receive answers through prayer. That's how you bear fruit. Because you have love for them, you can't forget them even a single moment, but always have them in your heart prayer. Then, even those with a stubborn heart can feel your sincere heart and open their hearts, open the door to their hearts. So as we shared the words of the shepherd and the Lord with them, they can receive grace and settle in. Like this, if church workers deal with the souls with the heart of a mother, they can stay healthy in spirit and in truth and achieve revival after revival. They have to protect the souls with the heart of a mother. Let's say a child leaves home, his mother would be so concerned until she finds him. She would spend sleepless nights and try all means to find her. So also we have to look for the souls who have been lost, like long absentees. We have to find them with the heart of a mother who lost his child. Through such deeds, we can achieve revival upon revival and embrace even more souls. Then you can be entrusted with a greater duty and be used more greatly for His kingdom. Like this, with the heart of the Lord, you should become a good shepherd, ready to give up all of yourself for His sheep. I pray that all of you will become exceedingly faithful ones who can greatly expand God's kingdom with many fruits. Let me sum up the message. To become exceedingly faithful ones before God, first, we have to cherish even a trivial duty we have. Second, we have to cast off all forms of evil. Third, we have to carry out our duties with our Lord's heart. In doing so, we can achieve sanctification and spiritual faithfulness, thereby being qualified for New Jerusalem. We, Mami members, have our hope in heaven, specifically in New Jerusalem, the best dwelling place in heaven. Thus, even while devoting our time, money, and efforts, not for us, but for God, we've been joyful and thankful. Indeed, we've been running a vigorous race of faith. Yes, we have. God also remembers our faithfulness, and He knows well about our hope for New Jerusalem. Thus, God has permitted us to go through this time of blessing to quickly change us into ones qualified for New Jerusalem. But the crucial thing is, our hope for New Jerusalem and our fervor has to remain unchanged until the day of our Lord's coming. We shouldn't stop or change in the middle. And never should we let go of our duties or neglect them. Suppose people build a huge structure but stop in the middle. All their time, money, and work will go down the drain. Likewise, no matter how faithful we've been, if we stop in the middle, if we have all our heavenly rewards crumble down, forsake our faith, and walk towards hell, it would be no use. It would be so lamentable. What did you lead a Christian life for? What did you work faithfully for? The senior deaconess, whose testimony I introduced at the beginning of the sermon, also gave up her duty to start a business in China. Even after he came back to Korea, he didn't attend church. While staying home, he had such an accident. But when she died and met our Lord, he rebuked her, saying, "You didn't even carry out your duties as a senior deaconess and a cell leader." She then repented and pleaded with him, "Please extend my life just a little more. Please save me from hell." She gained a new life by the Lord's grace. After that spiritual experience, she felt the importance of God-given duties and decided to work faithfully for the Lord. Mami members, we've welcomed the new year 2019, which is the opportunity for us to pay back God's overflowing grace. Mammin, will never stop, but mightily fulfill God's providence towards us. We give all thanks and glory to Father God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Apostle Paul confessed, "For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are of sound mind, it is for you." Then he added that the love of Christ controlled him. Aren't you thrilled to hear such a wonderful confession? As a person, how could he make such a wonderful confession? How could he live such a life? I personally like that confession a lot. This is truly a mindset of a spiritual warrior. I hope this confession of Apostle Paul will be the confession of our pastors. Will be the confession of our pastors, Levi workers, and church leaders of Mount Min. If we are so thankful for the love we receive from the Lord and the Shepherd, and controlled by the love of Christ, say amen here. Controlled by the love of Christ, to carry out our duties to the point where we are beside ourselves, how greatly we would help and benefit our church. I hope that towards the end of this year, all of you will be complimented by our Lord. Well done, good and faithful slave. You are faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centuries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and the internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases, such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes and the deaf come to hear and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children, and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.